Good morning. I'm Pastor Kathy Hart. I'm the Associate Minister here at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church, and we are in our second week of our series, Living Water. Last week, we talked about, are you thirsty? And today, we're going to talk about, fill me up, Lord. And so, I left you last week with three questions, and I hope you took those three questions and you pondered them and you reflected on them. The first question was, are you thirsty? And the second question was, what are you thirsty for? And the last question is, what are you drinking to fill and quench that thirst? So, you know, I was at the grocery store this week, and I was walking down the water aisle, and I was kind of taken surprise by how many different kinds of water you find at the grocery store. There was purified water, distilled water, spring water, filtered water, electrolyte water, alkaline water. I don't know that I would want to drink alkaline water, but okay, don't even know what that is. But you know what I couldn't find? I could not find, no matter how hard I try in the grocery store, living water. That's what we're talking about. And there's only one place that we can find that living water. And that is in Jesus, and that is in the Word of God. Water is a symbol and a metaphor that is used throughout Scripture, probably more than words like faith and hope. So I want to start, a great place to start is in the beginning. Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. Hear what the scripture says about water here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. Water was there in the beginning. It was an important part of creation. And when we jump all the way to the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, the very last chapter, chapter 22, and almost the very last verse, verse 17, it says this, and this is Jesus speaking in John's vision in Revelation. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. So from beginning to end in God's word, water is an important part. And there's 722 other references to water in Scripture. So I want you to just take a moment and I want you to think, when I say water and scripture, what are some of those stories or images that come to your mind? Those of you that are home, type that in. What do you think of? Maybe you think of the flood, and Noah comes and builds the ark, and God takes the water and cleanses the earth. Or maybe you might think of, like I do, the scene in the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston holding the staff up and the seas part so that the Israelites can cross to safety and salvation. Or maybe you think of Jesus' first miracle when he turns water into wine. Or when he uses water to heal a blind man. Or maybe your thought is when he walks on water. Water is used to baptize Jesus as John the Baptist is in the Jordan River. And in the 23rd Psalm, it says, he leads me beside the still waters and he restores my soul. Water is important to Scripture, and water is important to us because water is life. Several years ago, I was at a training in Jacksonville. It was called the School of Healing Prayer, and I feel that one of my callings is to be a healer, so I wanted to learn more about healing prayer. And I went to this workshop, and it was a week-long workshop, and there was a lot to learn and a lot to absorb. And I remember on Wednesday or Thursday of that week, I was sitting there, and I was really having an internal struggle with the call and with the gifts. Did I truly have those gifts? Was I truly called to that? And they had a time of prayer over all of the recipients, and the prayer team came, and they would lay hands upon us and they as they walked through. And the instructor said that if the prayer team, if the members of the prayer team had a word from God for us, then they would whisper that. So they were walking through, and I had people lay hands on me as they passed through, and then one person stopped, and she placed her hands on me, and she leaned down, and very sweetly and gently, she said two words. She said, "Living water." That was God's word to me. And suddenly, I felt something like I'd not felt before. There was a bubbling happening, and it was welling up inside of me. And I just wanted to jump up and scream, and I wanted to run and shout. And so fortunately, the seminar ended, and I could jump in my car and go. And where I went was to the water. I wasn't anywhere near Jacksonville Beach, but I felt this urge and this need to go to the water. And so I drove to Jacksonville Beach, and in my prayer time, in my reflection time, I love to walk around water, around lakes. I walk the beach, I walk the causeway. And I just had this strong desire to go and walk the beach, and God's presence just washed over me. And he assured me of my call and affirmed me that the living water was in me. And the living water is in you as well. Maybe it's just kind of pooling for the moment. For the moment. Water? What is this water? Last week we visited the woman at the well. And we're going to return to her next week and finish that story. But today I just wanted to focus on water. So what is water? Water is life. As we heard, it was in the beginning. And part of the creation story, as we continue in Genesis 1:20, it talks about how water was filled with life, that it swarmed with the fish and other life. Rain refreshes and renews. We just had a wonderful rain on, I think it was Thursday, and it washed the pollen all off of my car, and I was really grateful, and it washed it away. The water cleanses, but at the same time that it's cleansing the earth, it is also replenishing and restoring and making new life grow. It's spring, and it's so good to see everything going green. The grass is green. The flowers are blooming. That's because water is life to the earth. Likewise, with our bodies, when we drink, water flushes out our system, washes away the toxins and the waste and the bacteria and all the icky stuff, but it also fills us and replenishes all the organs of our body so that they function more effectively. And it brings new life. Water brings life. So with this context of understanding water as found in Scripture, I want us to dive into kind of a Bible study a little bit this morning. We're going to look at John 7:37 through 39 as our Scripture, but we're going to be looking at a lot of places in Scripture that support Jesus and what he says here. So in John 7:37, it says, "On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, 'Anyone who is thirsty, come to me.'" Now I want to give you some context of what is happening in Jerusalem when Jesus stands and shouts this. As it says, it's on the last day The last day of what? The last day of the festival. It's a festival in Jerusalem. It's the festival of booths. That's a hard thing to say. Festival of booths. And what that is, it is a celebration and remembrance of when the Israelites were wandering around in the wilderness, homeless. They had to put together little huts and houses as they traveled with whatever they could. So when they have this festival, they would take palms and thatch roofs, and they would create huts that they would stay in for the 7 days. And this happened in the fall, so it was also a harvest festival. They would bring their first fruits and offer it to the Lord. There was activity and celebration and ritual and ceremony in the temple every day. And one of the ceremonies that happened had to do with water. And what would happen is the priest would go into the temple and he would take a pitcher. And he would walk all the way to the pool of Siloam. And he would fill it up to the brim. And then as he walked back into the temple through the gate, the people began to recite from Isaiah 12:2. They would say, "With joy you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation." So while I carry this back into the temple, will you recite this scripture with me? "With joy you will deeply from the fountain of salvation." Let's do that again. "With joy you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. With joy you will drink deeply from the of salvation." And then he would pour the water out and it would flow around the altar. And this was a celebration of the gift of water from God. And it was also a prayer for rain as they wanted their crops to continue to thrive. But it was also a ceremony of remembrance for when the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness and they were thirsty. And they were complaining because God had led them out into Egypt in this dry land, in this wilderness, and there's nothing to eat and there's nothing to drink. And so God tells Moses to strike a rock. In Exodus 17:6, God tells Moses, "I will stand before you on the rock of Mount Sinai. Strike the rock and water will come gushing out. Then the people will be able to drink." So Moses struck the rock as he was told, and water gushed out as the elders looked on. It was in this context that Jesus shouted to the people, "Anyone who is thirsty, come to me and drink. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart." Jerusalem is crowded with this festival. And Jesus takes this moment, this opportunity to say, "Are you thirsty? What are you thirsty for? What are you drinking to quench that thirst? Come and drink this water that I will give to you." Now, it does say that for the scriptures declare, here's where we're going to dive into Bible study a little bit. "For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart." This is not an exact quote from scripture, as Jesus is often known for doing. He quotes scripture, but this is more of a composite of multiple scriptures. So I want to share some of those with you that support this statement that Jesus makes. In Isaiah 58:11, it says, "The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, an ever-flowing spring." Beautiful image of God restoring your soul, watering your garden. You're a well-watered garden. Or maybe he was thinking of Isaiah 44:3, where it says this, "For I will pour out water to quench your thirst and to irrigate your parched fields. And I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing upon your children." So here we see where it is water for your thirst, but it is also pouring out God's spirit upon you. Or maybe it's Zechariah 14:8. And in Zechariah 14:8, Zechariah shares this image that on that day, life-giving waters will flow out from Jerusalem, half toward the Dead Sea, half toward the Mediterranean, flowing continuously. That's important right there. Flowing continuously. Living water flows. It's alive. It doesn't stop. These are the scriptures that support Jesus' statement that the scriptures say about the living water flowing from his heart. So whose heart is this living water flowing from? Is it our heart? Is it Jesus' heart? It starts with Jesus. Jesus is the living water. He brings life. Water, remember I said earlier, water is life. Replace water with Jesus. Jesus is life. He brings us life. And the scriptures support that as well. In Exodus 17:6, remember we saw how water came out of a rock. That when Moses struck the stone, the water came pouring out for the people. Paul retells this story to the people in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 10:4, it says, as Paul is talking to the people, "And all of them drank the same spiritual water, for they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ." Jesus was with God from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. In the beginning, Jesus was there at the time of creation. Jesus was there with the Israelites in the desert. He was the spiritual drink. He was part of the cloud that led them through this. Christ was with them, and he was the rock from which they drank. Another comparison of scripture that I want to make with you right now from the Exodus story leads us into the Holy Week season. We are in Lent right now. We are preparing for the Passion of Christ when he goes to his death for us. And in John 19, the rock, our rock, Jesus Christ, is on the cross. And just as when Moses struck the stone and water came gushing out, hear what it says in John 19:34. "One of the soldiers, however, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out." Jesus is the living water. From his heart, it flows out to us. He pours it out and wants us to drink of this water so that we will never thirst again. He says again, "Anyone who believes in me," in John 7:38, "anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart." And then he goes on to say in John 7:39, when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him, but the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. So here John is describing what this living water is that's flowing from Jesus' heart. It is the Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit that he pours out on us all. And the Holy Spirit brings us life. What is this life that the Spirit gives us? It is life of joy and peace and hope. It is gifts to build up the kingdom of God. The fruit of the Spirit is evident. This is what we can have. No matter our circumstances, we can still have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruit of the Spirit that we get that give us life. And that is the life that we don't keep to ourselves. It's not supposed to be a pool that just sits within us. It is living water continuously flowing. In Matthew 10, Jesus sends out his disciples. He sends out the 12 to go and preach and teach and heal and baptize. And he says this in 10:42. He says, "And if you give them even a cup of cold water to one of the least of these, my followers, you will surely be rewarded." So as we are filled with this living water that flows into us from Jesus' heart, it is to flow out as well. Give a cup of cool water to one another. Believers are not just supposed to drink, but to become channels of living water to a thirsty world. There's a hymn, "Fill My Cup, Lord." And this morning I invite you to let your cup be filled. "Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, God, and make me whole." Around the sanctuary, you will see water stations. At each station is a bowl of cool, clear water to remind you of your baptism, that in baptism, you were washed clean of your sin. And you were replenished and restored, and new life began in you. So as you come to the water station, just touch your hand into it, touch your forehead, maybe make a cross on the forehead, and remember your baptism and be thankful. Now, if you've not been baptized, you are welcome to come to the station too. Place your hand in the cool, clear water and know that Jesus is the living water, and he can quench your thirst. If you would like to be baptized, please come and see me after the service. We are having a beach baptism next week and would love to have you be a part of that. For those of you that are at home, get yourself a bowl of clear water and join us in this time. Jesus said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life." And as you come, come with joy and draw water from the well of salvation. Come.